It's not a well-oiled machine. I mean, they are not precise in what they're doing. They just look like they don't know what should be done. I mean, the passes are tentative. The moves are tentative. It looks like you're worrying about things you can't be worrying about. Rather than just being confident and going out there and taking your shot, making your passes, you know, we talked about before the game started, Kevin Durant saying, we need to be a blender. Well, Kevin was standing in one spot in like five possessions in a row and didn't move. I mean, not even move. And this team can't do that. They can't stand around and watch everybody go one-on-one. This Minnesota team is too good defensively.
That's Tom Chambers last night on the post-game show on Arizona's Family Sports. Frustrating offensive performance once again. And while they did address some things that popped up in game one, the physicality was more present for longer.
Mm-hmm. Rebounding
much better. Effort was much, much better.
Defense was better.
The defense was better, but I mean, let's focus on two. One of them was a game one issue. They couldn't finish at the rim in game one.
They couldn't finish at the rim in game two.
Mm.
15 of 24 at the rim, which is 62.5%, an improvement over what they did when they were under 50%, but still not good enough. Missed a lot of shots down low. And I think a lot of that is this unconscious respect they're paying to Rudy Gobert, who's a great defender, but man, challenge him. Drew Eubanks gets a lot of crap from the Suns fan base. And some of it's deserved.
At least he showed some heart last night.
He's a frustrating player, but he attacked the rim with ferocity, whether Rudy Gobert was down there or not. The other thing that popped up, and we have to talk about this, and Tom Chambers was talking about that at the beginning of that clip, the lack of precision with the ball in your hands, whether it's on dribble drives, on dribble handoffs, on passing. This continues to be the sloppiest Suns team I think I've ever watched.
Yeah, listen, the turnovers are it's mind numbing. It really made me viscerally angry at times last night watching this team kick the ball around, waste possessions. And what Tom Chambers said too, I saw some of this in the first half, and I'm just like, what is going on with this offense? Not just the KD standing around. There was a possession where Devin Booker just kept giving the ball back to Bradley Beal, like, you do something. I'm tired. And now he's not tired, but that's what it looked like. And it's like, where's the cohesion on this offense? Where's the interplay? Where's the cutting? Where's the organic stuff? There's none.
Give them time. They're getting used to each other. They still have at least two more games in this series.
Are you worried?
To gel.
I'm not worried.
Yeah, chemistry is about to start to kick in.
Uh-huh.
And on the turnovers thing, it's like not all turnovers are created equal. A lot of the Suns' turnovers are just laziness and sloppiness.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, it's not always just a great defensive play by the other team. It's just like lazy passes or people not
sometimes throwing the ball aggressive directly to the opponent. I've the lack of attentiveness and the lack of just having a foundation there. It's just it's mind blowing to me.
There's
it
times
really
when
for a team with three spectacular offensive talents to struggle to get a good look, that is heinous. It's a dereliction of duty. It's something. It's something really bad, Vinny.
You had it right there, didn't you?
Yeah.
The Suns held under 100 points in consecutive games. It's the first time that's happened this season.
Wow.
It has been a struggle.
Yeah, it has been. And it's a shame because in the second quarter, the Suns were tying the Timberwolves up in knots. And if not for Mike Conley in the second quarter, the Suns, like you pointed out on Twitter, should have been up 20 at halftime.
Yeah.
There's no way that Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns should have that bad a game and the Timberwolves should win that easily.
Yeah. Totally. Like
that's the recipe that the Suns should have stolen a game on the road.
I came to
a very, very nuanced, layered realization/revelation last night. Very nuanced, Jared. Karl Anthony Towns sucks. He really sucks. I can't even get over how ineffective he is relative to his size and reputation.
I can only imagine if Karl Anthony Towns played on the Suns and committed that foul out front where he basically, was it Booker? He body checked Booker out front. It was the most obvious foul ever. And then he actually had the gall, he had the chutzpah to argue the call and act frustrated.
If you were the head coach of the Timberwolves, you'd be looking at him going, what are you doing? What did you expect to come out of that?
In a text thread with a buddy, I recently described Karl Anthony Towns as the least fluid, best scorer I've ever seen, and he's this uncoordinated tornado of body parts.
He is. He's a vicious vortex.
Here was Kevin Durant, on the offense, piggybacking on what Tom Chambers said. The offense slowed down again in the third quarter. What happened?
I was a little stagnant. I think we also got some good looks that we couldn't hit. And on the other side, they stretched us out. With the trap and the pick and roll, and now you got guys going downhill off a closeout, and it's tough to stop. I think that's what. That's what their offense does. You trap them Conley. We stretch out, get guys going on the other side. So that was tough. It was just a tough stretch for us there, and it's been happening in the third, so we got to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, stagnant is the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good
deliberate,
word.
Deliberate, stagnant.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at this point, and this has been a season-long problem, how many possessions? You don't have to go through Yusuf Nurkic because he's a great passer. And Nurkic does some really good things offensively, but there's times where there's just not a shot there, and he feels compelled to take the shot.
I know.
And it leads to just a frustrating possession that doesn't really have a chance to end in points.
Yeah, and he is just so limited offensively. He just can't seem to turn or get off his feet. Just no explosiveness around the basket at all. Hey, listen, and I'm not here to dog on him. He is trying.
But the Suns knew that. They gave up the explosiveness at the basket in that trade for the other things that Nurkic does that Ayton didn't do.
I mean, give credit where credit is due. DeAndre Ayton had elite touch around the rim. Had elite touch with 15 feet in. He got all the touch that Yusuf Nurkic didn't get. Nurkic does a lot of things better. I mean, he's a tremendous rebound. He led the rebounding effort last night. He was very good on the boards. But again, you don't have to go through Yusuf Nurkic every possession.
Yeah.
You don't.
You know how sometimes they examine the brains of football players for the effects of CTE?
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to do that to Phoenix sports fans, particularly Suns fans. Get some brains and some formaldehyde and give them to some scientists 20 years down the road and let them examine what this sports town and what this basketball team has done to all of us.
Wait. Are you telling me it was bad that I kept repeatedly banging my head against the wall last night?
That's what I'm saying.
Stop making me bang my head against the wall.
No, it's just...
That was a banger head against the wall game.
It's so depressing.
Suns playoffs go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in today in the 8 o'clock hour, the noon hour, and the 3 p.m. hour to snag an exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today, 8, noon, and 3 o'clock hours for that exclusive code word. Coming up next. The Big Three, a lot of criticism on them. Where exactly are they two games into this series? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody, it's Bernsey, and once again, the Timberwolves completely outplayed the Suns, especially in that second half, and now the Suns are in an 0-2 hole. Can the Suns dig themselves out, or is it too late? We react starting at straight up 2 o'clock on the Burns and Gambo Show.
We just got to regroup. We have 2 days to think about it, 2 days to sit with it. We've showed that in spots this season, and it's something that, we need to correct and, correct urgently.
Any favor, possession at a time, man. I'm not trying to think like that. We got a next game ahead of us. We got to focus on every possession. What I'm saying? So we'll take it possession at a time.
That's Devin Booker, Kevin Durant on their mindset going into game three, coming home down 0-2. Durant's response was
I don't know, puzzling?
Yeah, we listen again.
Possession? Does Vinny, this look like a team that takes it a possession at a time?
No, no, and this constant minimizing their predicament is getting old really fast and has been old really fast. And again, I get it. I know that you want to protect optimism and you don't want to project any weakness. And I know these guys are not emotive kind of guys, but they're tone deaf. And when this fan base is yearning, if they could only see the way Bradley Beal lit up this fan base the last two games of the regular season, I don't know why they don't recognize that and understand this. Hey, it's just a series. Hey, we're just one possession at a time. Yes, it might be true. But it just kind of illustrates further for me just this great disconnect between team and coach, team and fan base and their expectations.
Yes. I mean, you hit on something. The way I would phrase it is this fan base wants to know that you care as much as they do.
That's it.
I'm not going to sit here and question the motives or the desire of this team. There's so much. You want to talk about just a storm of crap on social media last night. Devin Booker's obviously checked out. He's tanking the series. He doesn't care. They are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. But the struggles are something to dive into. This is not supposed to happen with this big three.
No.
There is roster construction flaws all over the place, but the one thing that you can hang your hat on is you're going to get good shots. You're going to be able to score. Are they going to be able to stop anybody? This offense should not be this bad
no.
at this point of the year.
That's it. That's exactly it. And
the talent was supposed to be overwhelming.
Well, it is overwhelming. And so why isn't it producing that way? When you've got guys who have scored at the level that all three of these guys have, and they're all elite shot makers, the lack of finding a grid for these players to kind of go nuclear. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's as simplistic as the lack of a point guard. I think when you zoom out, if you have to find a top reason why, that's probably very close to the top of the list. But even so, as Vinny pointed out, we're talking about Kevin Durant, 18 years in the game. Devin Booker, 9 years in the game. Bradley Beal, he's been around since, 17? These are guys who've been in the league.
Bradley Beal's been in the league longer than Devin Booker.
That's true.
Yeah. So he's more than a decade
and
in.
So the fact that this offense struggles to get good looks and struggles to look competent, it's mind-blowing.
And here's the other thing. Remember when they got rid of Chris Paul, we were saying, well, the good thing is that they will increase their pace of play now. The criticism on Paul was he was a great ball handler, great, you know, running the game.
Slowed him down.
But slowed him down so much. Now, without him and with all this offensive talent, they can move, and we're still in the same problems.
Yeah. The difference is Chris Paul, deliberate pace would lead to a good shot late in the shot clock. Without Chris Paul, the deliberate pace leads to bad shots late in the shot
clock. That's a great point.
Here's Bradley Beal on why the offense went so quiet in the second half.
I mean, it's just a flow in the game. I'm not sitting here saying it's a perfect thing that we go out, we're going to go. It just happens, you know.
Yeah.
It's the flow of it, you know, when things are getting crazy, everybody wants to make a play, kind of play rushed. And at least the turnovers lead to kind of being a little bit unorganized. We'll be better, man.
This, again, that we'll be better.
Mm-hmm. Now,
that's a low bar. I would hope so.
And you and I were in alignment that going into game two, that you can come down from an 0-2 deficit and still be in a series. And you can, if you're sturdy and stout-hearted, you can win two home games and just kind of hold serve and keep it going until somebody blinks. The optics of it, though, do matter.
Yeah.
And what happened in that third quarter when this team lost its composure, lost the plot, if you will, lost its way, it's real hard to believe in this team. And you can feel it. You can feel it in the fan base. I'll tell you anecdotally, when a team like the Suns puts a disappointing effort on the floor like last night, in a big, big game, individually, anecdotally, from a very personal standpoint, I'll hear from people, I can't wait to hear your blast tomorrow. I can't wait to hear what you have to say so somebody can scream at this basketball and express at this team and express the way I feel right now.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get any of that last night.
I did. Did you?
But I also got the people that are like, I can't even listen anymore.
That's what it is. I think people have got their... And the fact that they haven't even played a home playoff game yet.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, duh, this is... Duh. That's really sad.
And on
it's
the,
really, really
on
sad.
On the Devin Booker criticism that you were talking about on social media and people calling on the phone, he is in danger of that chilling comment becoming his version of the homework clause for Kyler Murray, in that from now on, until he proves that wrong with his play or success, people are going to keep pointing out, oh, I guess Devin Booker's just chilling out there. He doesn't care if they win or lose.
You're right, but I would also, and I'm not sitting here saying, and I'll defend Devin Booker every day, all day. I think he's a great basketball player. He's taken a step back this year. There's no doubt about it. If you want to question,
we can agree on that.
Something being off this year, I will listen to you because I've wondered about that too. But if you're going to criticize Devin Booker, at least be honest about the criticism. At least be truthful about the criticism. There's so many people say, hey, every year he sucks in the playoffs. That is so not true. He has struggled mightily in games one and two of this series. Fact. He has had a number of bad performances in elimination games. Fact. He has also been otherworldly in the playoffs.
That's a fact as well.
In most of the games that he's played.
That's a fact as well. But again, I think at the end of it all, I think that you wear everything, no matter how much of it is your fault. I kind of vibe on what Jared is saying because I feel it a little bit. My love for Devin Booker has waned a bit this year because I just haven't dug his vibe at all. And again, Devin Booker might have reasons. He might not vibe with this coach at all. We might hear things down the road. We might not, but I do think that he is losing some status here. But contextually speaking, it's not something where you can go and assume some of the things that are being said. Oh, he's quit on this team. He's quit on this franchise. I don't think that's it.
No, but
it's just really, really disappointing.
Something appears amiss.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
Coming up next, Sarah Cazell will take us through the big stories on this Wednesday in the Woo! Rush Hour reboot. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Rush Hour reboot. Rush Hour reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Arizona built for America's dreams.
Good morning, my friends. Welcome into the Rush Hour reboot here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. If you are a Suns fan and you are still tuning in this morning, this team hasn't completely shredded your soul yet. Hello. Thank you so much for being here. Do you hear the exhaustion?
Can I have that shredded soul burrito, please?
Oh, shredded soul, absolutely.
Burrito.
All right, we're going to catch you up on everything you need to know in Valley Sports today. Yes, starting with the Phoenix Suns. I am Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hey.
With Vince Marotta.
Boy, another Phoenix turnover is nerd.
What? And Jared Carlin.
Freaking ridiculous.
Agreed. Frank.
It's total and complete a crap.
It's a complete crap.
Good job, Ferret.
Well done. All right. We're going to start there with the Suns. They lost game two last night to the Timberwolves, 105-93. That puts the Suns down 0-2 in this series. And I cannot phrase it any better than Kellen Olsen did in his game story last night. So I'm just going to drop his lead here. Quote, the Phoenix Suns did much better in many categories of game two on Tuesday against the Timberwolves. And none of that matters because they can't get out of their own damn way. Phoenix fixed a lot in a mucked up, ugly game before its usual cartoon level slippage segment of the contest arrived, and that was the difference in the 105-93 loss. Well done, Kellen Olsen. Part of the Suns getting in their own way, per usual, the turnovers, as you alluded to, Vince. The Suns turned the ball over 20 times for 31 Minnesota points, and Minnesota in its 14 turnovers only led to 2 Suns points. Grayson Allen also re-injured his ankle very early in the third quarter. It looked awful. He did not play the rest of the way. After the loss, Suns coach Frank Vogel shared what his message in the locker room was post-game.
Keep challenging each other, yeah, but stay connected. Yeah, there's a lot of love in that locker room with that team, and we got to make sure that we can challenge each other, listen to one another, okay, and remain connected, and that's where we're at.
We also heard from Devin Booker. He answered the question, where do the Suns go from here now coming to the Valley down 0-2?
Oh, we just got to regroup. You know, we have 2 days to think about it, 2 days to sit with it. You know, we've showed that in spots this season, and it's something that, you know, we need to correct and, you know, correct urgently.
Yeah, urgently. That'd be great. Mm. We have seen plenty of ups and downs throughout the regular season, but even with that, are you guys at all surprised by what you are seeing from the Suns 2 games into this series?
A little surprised. I thought they would be a lot more competent than what they've been.
Yeah.
You know, the level of frustration in both of these losses for different reasons has just been off the charts, and it's not indicative of a team with this much talent and this much experience. And I know they're, hey, it's our first playoff run together. I don't care.
I don't care. We gave Bradley Beal a lot of credit the last 2 games for kind of getting this team to the finish line emotionally and spiritually, and we all believe that Book. Our story begins in the postseason. I think we all wanted to believe that this moment in the stage was going to bring something better out of them.
But then
it's not.
If you change your perspective, and I'll change my perspective here through 2 games of this series, the Suns and the Timberwolves have played exactly the way they played in the regular season for the most part.
That's a good point.
The T-Wolves are a clamp-down defense. We heard about it, and we're like, they didn't do that against the Suns in 3 games. Well, they did it against everybody else, and they're doing it again. And the Suns have been a sloppy, aloof team through this season, and they've been sloppy and aloof. So when I look at it that way, no, there's no surprise, Sarah.
Okay, then with that, how confident are you guys that the Suns have a chance?
Not very. No, not very at all. I don't see how they get out of this, especially if Grayson. I doubt Grayson Allen re-injuring the same ankle. Yeah. I doubt he bounces back.
Oh, it looked so bad.
That quickly.
I was surprised to see him. I thought he was moving well early in the game, and he hit the three, and you're like, okay, but he hasn't really done much, and I think that kind of wore on him as the game went on. I almost feel bad for him. Like, don't. I know he's day to day. Almost don't put him out there. Like,
right. Save the ankle.
I listen.
You want to set the record for the most sprained ankles in one series.
And it's gonna be up to this basketball team to prove us all wrong. To come and put together a couple of really good performances. Because if they do the opposite, if we have to deal with another just disenfranchised, alienated, angry crowd.
Oh gosh.
Commemorating the end of another playoff failure. Ugh. I can't handle that.
So on that note, Kevin Durant spoke directly to the fans last night with Game 3 coming to Footprint Center on Friday, and he specifically said, do not give up on us yet.
I mean, they can't give up on us right now. Even more than anything. I know it's been disappointing last couple games, even a season, been too, you know, for our fans. But we need you more than ever now, coming back home for Game 3.
Yeah, so that is the begging from the players. Please still show up to Footprint Center on Friday. Please don't boo us. Please don't be silent and watching us with your arms crossed. Anyway, we've got to get to ASU because we've got a few updates about the NCAA investigation into the football program. Chris Cartman of Sun Devil Source dropped a ton of new information yesterday, most notably that Herm Edwards has agreed to a 5-year show cause penalty, which is one of the longest ever for a college football head coach specifically. Obviously, with his employment at ESPN and presumably not looking to get back into the coaching game, he'll be just fine there. But this revelation by Chris Cartman really caught my attention, and I assume it did yours as well. Cartman reports that when Herm Edwards and ASU parted ways in the 2022 season and he got that $4.4 million severance, Cartman reports that ASU was already aware that Herm had played a part in the recruiting violations committed during the COVID dead period. This quote from Cartman's report: while Herm Edwards had yet to meet with NCAA investigators, the investigators had already been told of his participation in the infractions by recruits and others, which the school was aware of at the time. 7 months prior, on our show, ASU President Michael Crow was on for Newsmakers Week. You guys asked him with, you know, the NCAA investigation and some guys had already resigned. Why is Herm Edwards still employed by ASU? Michael Crow said they'd already gotten rid of all the wrongdoers at that point.
Coach Edwards is responsible for the actions of all of his people, but these are not things that he asked them to do. These were not things that he was, you know, a part of. And so we're looking at everything possible. He's brought a lot of talent, a lot of energy, and a lot of creativity, and now we're dealing with, you know, people that couldn't play by the rules, and now they're gone.
Your thoughts?
Yeah.
I thought Jared's timing on the drops today has been fantastic.
It's been fantastic, yeah. The very snarky Jared today. I like it. Again, they have to address this. Michael Crow has to explain to us, to the Valley, to sports fans, to ASU alumni, why this man received $4.4 million when Bobby Hurley's recruiting budget is $111,000. Why are you rewarding somebody who broke the rules and just admitted it at the expense of everybody else in your athletic department? What is that?
It's mind-boggling. It was mind-boggling at the time. Not only that, Herm Edwards walks away, rides off into the sunset with $4.4 million and ends up in Bristol, Connecticut again.
Yeah.
You know, spouting his stuff on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Anderson is still on campus at over $2 million per year as a law professor now. What the hell is going on?
I don't know. I do not know.
I mean, because you said it. Herm Edwards signing off on this, cooperating with this, agreeing to it, is an admission of guilt.
Yes.
He knew what was going on,
yes,
and was responsible for it. It's gross.
It is.
Every day for about the last month seems to be just another gut punch to ASU athletics, the fans of the ASU athletic program. Man, you want to talk about a faithful bunch that has been fed,
yeah,
just bad stuff over, mm-hmm, and over again?
Totally.
And here we are again. Thank you, Sarah. What an uplifting reboot.
Fantastic, yeah, right? Don't you feel better, everybody?
Just a ray of sunshine.
Yeah,
over
we don't
here.
Create
do you
the
have a sports kebab you can do today to make people feel better?
No,
it's a complete crap.
It's a complete crap.
I was just thinking that, like, the Cardinals better just nail the draft tomorrow, because what a string. All the other teams have just been giving us some.
Whew. That was the Rush Hour reboot with Sarah Cazell.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next. Merrill Kelly on the injured list for months.
Months.
How do the D-backs overcome that? We'll get into it next. It's Pickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. The Diamondbacks are in action early against the Cardinals. We'll be back on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. getting you ready for the NFL draft and what the Arizona Cardinals could be thinking at 4. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Kelly ready, and here comes. Swing and a miss. That one nowhere close to the strike zone. Rogers down on strikes, and Kelly's got himself 8 strikeouts in his season-opening start.
Yeah, that was from back early in the season, March 29th. Merrill Kelly's been excellent this year for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That doesn't change, but it's going to be a while before we see Merrill Kelly pitch again.
Yeah.
We were hoping for the best. Didn't get that as the result.
No.
Placed on the 15-day injured list, but Torrey Lovello indicating that the shoulder soreness, the teres major. Look, I'm learning stuff all the time on this, mm-hmm, show. Well, that it's going to be months.
Clearly, they're
weeks.
Very alarmed by this.
Yes.
And again, this has been in a year where there's just been a lot of injuries. This one is the one that kind of I literally had to sit down to read Torrey Lovello's quote again when he said, "We're talking weeks, if not months," and it's like. I had picked Merrill Kelly to be top 3 in the Cy Young this year. This is how much of a fan I became during last year's postseason when he just became just an assassin. Exactly the kind of big-time pitcher you need to win a World Series. And everything about that rotation looks so fantastic. And It's just this is a tough thing to deal with because this is bad luck is what this is. Yep. The Diamondbacks went all in. They made any number of moves that everybody raved about. Mike Hazen was fantastic. Ken Kendrick spent the money that he swore he was going to spend. And this team on paper looked fantastic going into this year. 12 players on the injured list right now. Yep. 8 of them pitchers.
Merrill Kelly, Paul Sewald, Kyle Nelson, Ryan Nelson, Luis Frias, Miguel Castro, Eduardo Rodriguez, Dre Jameson.
Unbelievable.
The various injured lists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can this be overcome? Rodriguez is going to be a bit longer. You got Montgomery, so now Montgomery, your de facto number two starter. I guess if there's a silver lining, it's been the recent performances of the young pitchers. Ciccone on Sunday was good. Tommy Henry was really good. Brandon Fott has had good performances. So can they tread water until these guys are whole? But then you wonder, I mean, when you have a rash of injuries like this early in the season, you have to wonder if this is just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to predict it. There's no way to define it, but it just seems almost predestined at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I wonder if somewhere down the road, some baseball franchise is going to buck current standards and desires when it comes to pitchers and just assemble a staff of junk ballers, guys that are going to stay healthy and they're going to get outs a much different way. I wonder if you could even do that. Even the Oakland A's right now got a young kid who is Mason Miller. Have you seen this kid?
Yeah, he's thrown the 8 fastest pitches in the major leagues.
He's routinely above 102 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Routinely. And that's all he does is throw gas and nobody can catch up to it. And so this is really...
he's healthy.
Yeah, well, listen, yeah. And so the power arm trend in baseball, it's been a thing for quite some time now. But you throw in the emphasis on spin rates with velocity. This is what you're looking at.
I'm not ready to go down that path yet. And if you use the Diamondbacks as an example, and it's a very, very narrow sample that we're talking about, but 8 pitchers is not that narrow. Who of those 8 pitchers is really a fireballer? Merrill Kelly, not a fireballer, but high spin rate guy. Paul Sewald, even as a closer, not a hard thrower compared to other closers. Kyle Nelson, Ryan Nelson. Ryan Nelson's got some heat. Kyle Nelson, more of a breaking ball off speed guy. Luis Frias, Miguel Castro, hard throwers. Eduardo Rodriguez, not exactly known for heat. Dre Jameson can throw heat, but... So it's kind of mixed right down the middle. Yeah. You can't just say, all of our hard throwers are out. Pitchers have always been, pitchers get injured. This is not a new phenomenon, but I think people, and maybe rightfully so, are digging into it because of the rule changes, mm-hmm. the pitch clock. You know, we talked to Steve Berthume about that before the Merrill Kelly injury, and he was in favor of the pitch clock going, being reduced with no runners on base. So I think this is a big soup of stuff that Major League Baseball and individual teams are dealing with right now. The unfortunate part for the Arizona Diamondbacks is they're going to be without their number two starter for a couple months.
And one thing you got to, I always have to think about is Merrill Kelly feels like this, young star that the Diamondbacks have.
He's 35 years old.
He's going to be 36 this year.
I know.
And whenever you're dealing with a surgery that could take you out months, you never know how they're going to recover from that when they're experienced.
So, listen, the Diamondbacks need to immediately get into underdog mode, just like they were last year, and vibe on that and hope for the best. You still got a couple of really good starters, 3 of them, and maybe Tommy Henry can do more of what he did last night. But this whole team is going to have to get in scrap mode.
Mm-hmm. There's no other way to say it.
Yep. And by the way, Corbin Carroll batting 7th today, Vinny found out. How about that, huh?
The lineup.
What a lineup.
We'll get more into this later on in the show with D-backs on deck at 9:15. But let's examine this.
Yeah.
Ketel Marte, day off. Before a day off. They're going up against a right-hander in Kyle Gibson, so it's a very lefty-heavy lineup. Pavin Smith leading off. Blaze Alexander second. Good to see him that he's back and able to be in the lineup. Jock Peterson third. Christian Walker fourth. Suarez fifth. McCarthy 6th, Corbin Carroll 7th, Kevin Newman 8th, Tucker Barnhart 9th. So to answer the question that came up earlier in the show, Corbin Carroll didn't play yesterday, didn't even get like at-bats off the bench. Mm-mm. Was that a scheduled day off or was there something else attached to it? There was something else attached to it.
Yeah. He's scuffling. He's
struggling.
Yeah, he is struggling big time. 7th. So let's hope the change in location works for him.
Well, hopefully, but you know, he's going up against a right-hander and his splits are so puzzling against right-handers. He feasted against them last year and can't hit them at all this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen this is crazy. Stop rubbing your eyes, ferret. You're going to get another sty.
Join Arizona Sports 98.7 tomorrow for round one of the NFL Draft at Flanker's Kitchen inside BetMGM Sportsbook. Come witness Cardinals history with us. Get and the chance to win autographed Cardinals merchandise. Visit the contest page at arizonasports.com for full details. Coming up next, Bick's got your blast. Fire! It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.